You're listening to Getting It On with James and Heather. I'm Heather Dawn.
And I'm James Gay, giving you the best in health, love, and relationship advice.
Ask us your questions by calling us at 310-845-6095.
Or you can email us at hosts@thejamesandheathershow.com.
Let's go get it on.
Let's do it.
Four signs your relationship is in trouble.
And what you can do about them to save your relationship.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
So everybody has trouble in their relationships, and it's not mm-hmm. just for married people or people who are dating. Mm-hmm. You have family relationships, you have work relationships, but your life is made up of long-stemming relationships or partnerships. Mm-hmm. And this, what we're going to talk about today, can be applied to many of these long-stemming relationships because it deals with communication and the types of communication that get us into trouble and could lead to divorce or breakups.
Right. Yeah.
And what we can do about it.
Exactly. And what we're going to be talking about is based on science. It's based on research done with tons and tons of couples, both straight couples and gay couples and lesbian couples, all kinds of different couples. So.
What other kind of couples?
All kinds.
What about ducks?
Exactly. Right.
What about Wookiees?
Mostly human species. So number one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Woohoo. It's about criticism.
I hate the way your hair looks. It's terrible.
Heather,
why can't you ever
always say things like that?
What do you mean I always
so
say things like
frustrated.
That?
Frustrated. Yeah, so it's that.
Criticism, defensiveness.
And we're talking about criticism that's sort of like character attacks, right? It's not just about something someone does. It's about making it more global, making it about part of who they are. And it's also about sort of just throwing everything in there, right? It's about me feeling like I'm better than you and making that known.
And you're tearing somebody apart. Mm-hmm. Why? Do you feel better when you tear them apart? Does it make them feel better when you tear them apart? When we become hypercritical, like, it's one thing to be perfectionistic. You've got a job, a deadline, expectations that someone is holding over you and that type of scenario. Okay, the perfectionism and the criticism of the stuff may work to your benefit. Mm. But again, we're talking about relationships here. Mm-hmm. And so being critical or continuously critical, what's the goal there? What are you trying to accomplish? So criticism...
I was just going to add...
we're going to do this the rest of the episode.
Pretty much. I was just going to add that criticism, what we're doing is oftentimes projecting our own discomfort onto someone else and expecting them to change it. It's what we do in relationships, healthy ones too, right? We do lots and lots of projections. This is about sort of disowning our own discomfort, blaming someone else for something so that we don't have to feel as bad. But if we do that too much of the time, it gets really destructive in relationships. So instead of criticizing our partner, what we can do instead is teach a gentle startup. We can come from a place of vulnerability where it's like, look, when you do such and such action, without the judgment, when you do such and such action, this is what happens for me. This is how I feel about it. And I'd really like you to do X, Y, Z. Asserting your needs, making requests.
Asserting your needs. That's
right?
What I was going to say. Can you see what he's doing? And he's doing it real nicely. I would be a little bit more temperamental if someone was on my case all the time with the constant criticisms.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you really need to stop that now. If you were James, you would say it as sweetly as he just said it.
One of the things that I liked about what you said, though, is that you weren't calling them names.
Nope.
You weren't putting them down. You were saying very clearly,
this is what I'm going
to
accept.
Stop that. I need you to stop that. If you don't, these are the consequences. This is what I will do. I will step away. I won't want to spend as much time with you, whatever.
Not even the threats. I just always ask, if I'm under constant attack by someone, whether it's a long-standing friendship, a relationship I'm in, and the criticisms keep coming, I finally sit there and say, A, you need to stop that. And then B, what is the goal you would like to have happen here?
Right.
I don't even say, or I'm not going to listen. I don't threaten. I just sit there and say, what is the goal you are trying to accomplish with your constant criticisms? And I let them come up with the answer.
Sure.
No, I know what the answer is, but I'd rather them discover what the answer is. If they can't, I say, please get back to me when you've found how this technique is supposed to help us.
Well, and part of what I was saying is not to threaten the end of a relationship or those kinds of things, but rather to say, you know, this is what I'm going to need to protect myself or to have some space and time when we're having conflict to set some of the natural consequences for their continued behavior. So again, not to use it as leverage, but use it as like, look.
Boundary setting.
And
clear communications.
Right?
Get clear.
Mm-hmm.
You had broached on number two of these four signs that could potentially lead to a breakup or divorce, which is defensiveness, right? Mm-hmm. Why don't you give an example of what being defensive is, you loser?
I'm perfectly fine. I have lots of stuff going on for me.
Whatever.
I'm not a loser.
I'm really
accomplished in X, Y, Z.
Yeah,
da-da-da.
Okay. What about all those failures you've had?
It's about defending ourselves from attack, right? And sometimes it's about counterattack, right? Instead of, like, defending myself, I might go on the attack and say, no, you're a loser.
Da-da-da. What?
Middle
I'm not
school
a loser.
Behavior, right? We all can get there.
I'm going to give you a titty twister.
Ah, no, they're sensitive.
That's how you solve that problem.
Right.
This is a true story that I'll share with you guys. So I was on set one day, and I had a very bullish director who was yelling and screaming and throwing temper tantrums, and
LA conversation.
And everybody was terrified of him, and nobody could get a word in edgewise, and there was so much pressure that I literally just reached out, and I was just like, bink, and it just stopped him from talking.
Startled
him. Yeah, and then he like looked at me, and it was just like, what? I was like, you need to stop that. Now, by the way, I don't recommend that. And I'm certainly not saying that that's the therapeutic thing to do.
Right.
But as James knows,
I probably need consent to touch nipples.
Yes. But he was just being so abusive and wouldn't listen. And everyone was so terrified. I had to think of something.
To throw him off his game.
Just to throw him off his game. Yeah, and that's when I did that. But again, I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying.
So what
I was in my 20s when I did that.
What are you recommending? Instead of defensiveness, what can people do?
But instead of it, take responsibility. Right. So instead of being in a constant place of defending your actions and defending why you did something, be accountable. Be accountable.
Even if you didn't do anything wrong or it's
or
mostly the other person's, you can still acknowledge your impact, right? That even if you didn't intend a particular impact, that that's what that had. And you can acknowledge it and understand and care about that.
Yeah.
Right.
So how can you be responsible? You know, a lot of times people find that being right or wrong is more valuable than being responsible or accountable. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to have any relationship that you care about last, you need to lose that thinking today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's not about winning an argument.
No.
It's
being
about
right or wrong.
Benefiting the relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having a sense of integrity, but also working with the person or people that you're with in a way that's collaborative, that's team-oriented, that everyone can win some of the time.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So accountability instead of defensiveness.
Right.
Number three, in terms of the things that could lead you to a breakup or divorce or
it's the number one predictor of divorce, actually,
is
this
it?
One. Yeah.
Well, why don't you say what it is already? I'm so sick and tired of this.
I'll reveal it.
No, go ahead. Like now.
Contempt.
Oh, contempt?
Yeah, that. It's about character attacks. Like Heather was so beautifully.
Did I do contempt well?
You're doing
okay,
well.
Good.
She's
yeah.
the actor in the
yeah.
group. The actress. So, yeah, this is about, again, it's a certain level of amping up that, you know, there's just this nastiness, this like disregard for another person's space and well-being. This is universal. It's usually the upper left lip. There's muscles here that sort of where you're like, ugh.
Like Elvis had right? He said the right.
Yeah, left. Ugh. So it's that kind of energy, right? Where you're looking at your partner and you're responding to them in a particular way that's just
continual
like,
continual caustic sarcasm. I've seen those relationships. Ugh. I've been out to dinner with people and they're just like, oh, of course you did. It's a dismissiveness, right? And
right.
This caustic.
It can be patronizing or condescending.
It's just continual contempt for someone who clearly, if you've been with them for some, you know, a while, are you really that angry? And if you are, it needs to be taken to a level where you can start working on building appreciation for each other, right?
That's the antidote.
Yes.
It's building a space of appreciation, right? Where you're looking, you're scanning the environment and your partner and looking for things that you're actually grateful for that then you can articulate to them, right? That you can express your gratitude. Like, I just love how, like, you are present with me right now. You are just, like, it seems like you're really interested in what I have to say right now, Heather.
Sometimes.
That kind of thing.
That would be me with humor. But yes, yeah. I mean, it's finding gratitude. It's finding what you do like. And again, I tend to gear towards sarcasm, but there's a difference between it being caustic and sort of cruel and attacking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like
just I'm playful and bonding.
Yes, playful would be better for tactics that I tend to use where if someone was having quite a lot of contempt. And I've seen people that I've had sessions with, and it's just hate, and I'll be like, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I know everything that is wrong with this person, why don't you tell me things that are really great about this person?
Right.
So I tend to ask a lot of questions, even if I have the answers, because I do think that people need to figure things out. And I do think people have the capacity to figure things out. We just don't always have the school sets, the skill sets, because we didn't learn them in school. That was the way I was trying to say it.
Well, so again, this is about any kind of psychological or verbal or emotional abuse, right? What qualifies as abuse is when it is a character attack, when there's a sense of superiority and you're putting someone's personhood down.
And I think we should also clarify that contempt is not anger, right?
Yes.
Healthy anger in a relationship, like the way you disrespected me was not okay and I'm pissed,
right?
That's
very
like
direct.
Very healthy anger, let it get out. Contempt sort of builds because you've been withholding moments of anger that were probably really necessary to have. And I think contempt tends to build because of those moments not being taken and it gunny sacks into this state of just continual contempt.
Yeah,
so healthy anger is okay.
Anger Management 101 is all about noticing your needs, asserting them so that you can do it along the way, right? Anger is often an emotion that's a call to action, like many other emotions, but it's recognizing that we feel wronged in some way, we feel hurt, and so we respond by saying no, right? So doing that in a constructive way in relationships is really beneficial because then people get to know what our needs are and adjust accordingly, hopefully, and those kinds of things. So we're displaying number 4 right now, in case you weren't clear. So, Heather, it's really important to me that you respect what I'm saying and acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
See what she's doing? This is called stonewalling.
It's the worst.
Oh, I hate it. It's where someone's still in the room, but they don't make eye contact. They don't respond to what you're saying. It's like you could be talking to a wall. Sometimes it's about people actually leaving a conversation unannounced, just like as a leveraged tool to silence you. Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
And of course, if you're an anxious type of personality, that's just going to be even worse for you.
Yeah.
because not everybody's wired the same way. Some people are just like, all right, well, if that's what you're going to do, I'll stonewall you back. And, you know, other personalities will then just, what did I do wrong? And
It shifts the focus sometimes, yeah. But it also ends the conversations. You can't have a dialogue with someone who's completely shut down.
Right? Exactly, which is why when James and I are often working with couples, you know, if one person is doing all the talking and communicating and the other person isn't, you know, we have to find out if both couples are on the same page because it's going to take two people to work on repairing a relationship. It is not a one-person job, otherwise you'd be single.
Right, so instead of shutting down, icing someone out, what we need to do instead is internally learn how to self-soothe, right? To notice the signs when we start to get like blood pressure going, heat going, like when you're getting closer to signs of shutting down, it's important to notice that and then respond accordingly. It can be a matter of taking 2 seconds to take a deeper breath. Sometimes that's enough.
And
other times it's about self-soothing, self-talk, staying in the game and the conversation.
And I think, too, you know, usually in relationships, and I've seen this with my aunt, my uncle, it's like, you know, there's one person who does all the talking, there's one person who tends to be a little quieter, and not all relationships. Sometimes you get two talkers or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you know that there's that kind of dynamic, and at a certain point you do know, you know, the person who's a little bit more active and communicative needs to... you know, quiet down for a moment, right? Mm-hmm. And give space to the person who would withdraw or stonewall, because they may not be as quick as you, or they may need a moment of space, like James was just saying, to self-soothe and get their thoughts and their emotions on straight. Not everybody's emotions are readily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, yeah, some people, no. But people who tend to stonewall don't feel comfortable expressing their emotions, they don't feel safe, or they're not as finely tuned into them. And you need to sort of get that as an understanding.
So sometimes, like you're saying, it can be stepping up, stepping back, right? The person who's more vocal, creating a little space for the other person to come forward. It's also about recognizing, you know, that we all sort of deal with emotional distress and discomfort differently, right? Some people sort of process it and talk it out and rage and whatever, right? Express it, right? Other people sort of need some space and time to discover what's going on, what it's connected to, have it more resolved internally before they then express it. So there needs to be space in relationship if there's these kinds of differences for both parties to have space to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So again, conflict with couples is a natural thing. Conflict with people is a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not this leads to a divorce or a breakup or the ending of the relationship comes down to how you're going to communicate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So being critical, defensive, filled with contempt or stonewalling, these are like four ways. If you're looking to end that relationship, by all means, continue to do it.
Right. And again, we're referencing some research. If you want to look more into it, it was developed by John and Julie Gottman, two therapists, straight couple, that looked at lots and lots of different couples to see what were the predictors of relationship breakups and what you could do instead to save a relationship or marriage.
And remember, you're investing, right? And so in the same way you would invest your finances, you know, if you're investing in this long-term relationship or marriage, you know, where do you want to put your emotional investments? Do you want to put them in criticism, defensiveness, contempt, stonewalling, or do you want to invest them in taking responsibility and talking kindly and clearly to each other, being self-soothing and building up a reservoir of appreciation?
Ooh.
Make a choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not just about complaining and attacking and hating.
Right. And we're not being Pollyannish either. This isn't about ignoring things that need to be addressed or being just positive and never negative. This is about having a lot more space for gratitude and, again, building that reservoir of appreciation. I love that term. And less of the criticism, right? More asserting needs, making requests, but doing it in a collaborative way where both people get to be valued and have space to exist.
Remember, if you wanted it to be all about you, you can do that at any moment when you decide to be single.
Good point.
With that, thank you very much. We hope you have healthy, happy relationships. And visit us at www.thejamesandheathershow.com.
And give us a call if you have any particular questions or topics you want us to cover. Bye, everyone.